I'm here in Black Line and I'm talking to Josie Murray. Where did you grow up?
In Newton Butler, outside Newton Butler.
Take me back to, because you were born in what year?
Oh gosh, I don't like saying what year. Yeah.
You were born in the 1940s.
No, 50s.
So what was it like in the 50s growing up before there was any troubles at all?
Well, I think there was always trouble. There was the B specials. They were on the roads. There was always the hatred, I remember it. St. Patrick's Day and the 12th of July and whatever. There was always that hatred there. And going to Mass on a Sundays, it's nearly been mowed down. We'd be walking to Mass, be nearly mowed down by the Protestant man whose son was killed the day before my brother when he was injured. But I remember that as a child.
And
on the road going straight past us within an inch of us.
Yeah, explain that to me. Who was
driving?
Yes.
This Mr. Bellman. There was always that hatred there.
Was there?
Yeah, definitely when I was young, yeah, I remember that.
And so how many of you, how many brothers and sisters all together?
There were six of us, three boys and three girls.
And the farm there that you ran, so your father, what was it?
We didn't have a farm. We didn't have a running farm, you know, the land was rented out.
And who rented the farm to your family?
No, we owned the land, but it wasn't a working farm.
Oh, I follow, yes. Yeah. And what was your father's name?
John Murray.
And so he was working. I mean, it was, if you go back to that day that they were killed, where were you?
I was in England.
Were you over there working?
Yeah.
As a nurse?
Yeah.
How did you hear the news?
How did I hear the news? Well, the police came, but I'd seen it on television before that, about two men that had been killed in Newton Butler. I'd seen the news about the neighbour man that was shot.
Was he, as you said, he was Robert Bell?
Yeah. I'd seen the news about him when I was at work. I just happened to see it on television. And then I heard the news about two men being murdered or whatever, I can't think how. So then I...
Were you shocked?
Well, I didn't notice them. Their names weren't released at the time. So then I was... I'd finished work at 3 o'clock, I think, that day, and I went to the gym. We were practicing running or something, keep fit or something like that. And I just changed to go running or whatever. And the gymnast or whatever, Mr. Mitchell, said, "You wanted at reception. I think you better get changed into your clothes." I said, "I'd do as I am." "No," he said, "you best get changed into my, you know, not my running gear, out of my running gear, whatever." So I was quite shocked, you know, and I had an uncle called Andrew Murray, and I said to the police, "Are you sure it's not him?" "I'm sure it's not my uncle." So it was quite a shock, you know. Oh, dear.
But it was a kind of a strange way to hear it, wasn't it?
Well, the police would have to inform me. Stabbed with army knives or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, one of them was a brother, Andrew Murray.
Okay, and the other man?
He wasn't related.
And what was his name?
My brother worked with him, Michael Nann.
Yeah. And just from what you've been told, could you describe exactly what happened that time?
What do you mean, what happened?
What did you hear that happened to them? And can you describe the day?
Oh, God, describe the day. I don't really know. It's all a bit of a daze to remember back. I think I went straight to the boat, got the boat to Liverpool boat, you know, so my friend took me there. Or her husband did. Her and the husband took me there. I can't really describe the day. I was in such a state of shock, you know.
And
there was no phones at home to phone anybody on that.
Yeah. No, light up, it's okay.
It's difficult to describe. Yeah. It was so shocking. It was called the Pitchfork Murders, and there was rumours that they killed themselves with pitchforks.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous.
And your parents, were they alive?
No, my father was dead. He had left home years before.
Had he? And yeah. So it was your mother that was
She was in the house on her own because my other brother went in to the police in Newton Butler to see the Sadochna Hinch, the address of the farmer that my brother worked for. Went into the police with a neighbour man to see was it my brother and the farmer, and my mother was on her own, and it was announced on the radio, the names, before she was informed. And her on her own, you know.
Yeah.
It was a disgrace that names shouldn't have been released, you know, to own, until she was informed.
And
so what a shock for her, you know.
And were you... So when you came home to her, did you stay with her for a long time afterwards?
I didn't stay a long time, no. So I stayed about a week or 10 days or something.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't stay, because I was leaving the hospital anyway on the 10th of November.
And you went straight back to England again.
Yeah.
But did that leave a bitter feeling with you?
No, it did. I didn't know who was who or anything, you know, or who did what. Well, I didn't know at the time it was the army, but it was presumed there were a bad crowd that were there at the time. Everybody was terrified with everything going on.
Yeah.
That particular regiment that were there for a few weeks or something. It was presumed it was revenge for the killing the day before, the shooting the day before.
And was your brother in any way involved with the... IRA at that time?
No, no. They went to civil rights marches with the farmer, but that's all. They weren't involved in anything.
Yeah. And the background to all of that would be that your own upbringing at home, a Republican house? Were there strong feelings about politics in the house?
Oh, I suppose there was, yeah. My mother was from Southern Ireland.
Where was she from?
Cavan.
Yeah. What part of Cavan?
Red Hills.
Yeah. Sorry, you can light up again. And so you were a Catholic family, of course.
Yes.
And so that was a reprisal. So were there... Everything seemed to get to kind of... It shocked people so much that it everything kind of quietened down after that, didn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it did, yeah. Oh, I don't know, so much happened. But that regiment left, so I suppose it was quieter, but... not knowing, you know, and well, everybody thought it was revenge, you know, that for the killing the day before.
And so, when you found out that it wasn't, and it was that regiment that were involved, that British regiment, did that kind of change your mind about things?
Oh, gosh, it's difficult to think.
Yes.
I was working. I was in a nursing home at the time, working nights on my own. I was looking at the Guardian paper, the professor I used to look after. He used to give me the Guardian newspaper and... he says, "See, can you finish the crossword?" I thought, if he can't finish it, being a professor, I can hardly. But so I was having a look at the crossword, and I seen a photograph. It was the shirt that struck me first. I thought my brother used to have a shirt like that, and then I thought, "Oh God, it is my brother." It was on the back of the Guardian about soldiers being taken up for it or whatever. It's only a short paragraph, you know.
Yeah.
That was quite a shock to see that in the middle of the night, you know, me on my own. And of course no poems, but it took a long time then for things to happen. But it's never been admitted by the British that it was... They thought they were just a renegade group that did it, you know.
Yeah.
They've never taken responsibility for it,
Did that kind of, after your brother was killed with Michael and Anne, did that break up the family? I mean, did anybody help the family to get over that incident?
No. No, not at all.
Did you feel very safe going back to England again and not staying at home?
Well, I did, yeah. Well, I felt safe, but I had a hard time in England as well, you know. I mean, if a bomb went off in London and me, you know, hundreds of miles away, wouldn't be very well liked.
Yeah.
I remember one time I lived in Exeter and I came back. I was in after 6 o'clock. I'd missed the news. I was normally see the news, but I just seen the end of it, and they said to anybody concerned, ring such a number, you know. And I thought, oh, some disaster has happened, you know. It could have been anything, like a plane crash or anything, you know. And, so I ran down the shop. I was on one of Keep Fit thing. Ran down the shop for milk. I asked for a pint of milk, and there was another man there, and he said, it was the fucking IRA, wasn't it? And I thought, what? So I got the milk and ran up to the house again, and the neighbour man was out, who had never spoken to him. Never seen him before, and never spoke to him. And I was out of breath. I said, oh God, I'm not fit. And he said exactly the same thing. It was a fucking IRA, wasn't it? And I didn't know the news yet, you know. It was a bomb in London and me in Exeter, you know.
Yeah.
So anybody would meet, you know, they'd say, where am I anywhere near the troubles? No, that's what I used to say. No, I said, I'm from Kerry. So it was very difficult living with it, you know. It's,
yeah, you tried to separate yourself from the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I didn't, what could I say, you know, that the British troops murdered my brother, you know, what could I say to people, you know, just said.
Yeah, and you had nobody to confide in.
Like, no.
Like, you were just on your own, weren't you? And your other two sisters, where did they go to, or what happened to them?
Well, one sister was married in a skin, and the other lived at home and served the soldiers' coffee the next morning. The officers that did it in Crum Castle. Imagine.
What are your two sisters' names?
Bridget and Catherine. They're laughing and joking, she said.
Imagine.
Mm.
So, what kind of... Like you said, there was no help for your sisters. Did you keep in touch with the family, being so far away?
Yeah, only by letter, you know. There was no phones. We didn't have a phone at the time.
But you must talk to me about that particular incident was so bad that it created a huge amount of publicity at the time.
Yeah.
So all the newspapers and... Mm. So were you hounded by the press at the time? Were they looking for you to record you or anything?
No.
And so how did you feel... Have you been recorded before for this?
No.
Have you not?
No.
And I'm very happy that you're talking to me about it. Yes, indeed.
Well, it's not easy talking about it, you know. It's as if it was yesterday.
I know. But was there an interest in living in Newtown Butler and staying there? By any member of your family?
Oh, well, I couldn't live there, you know. I wouldn't like to have lived there. Not knowing who was who or anything.
Is that why you went to England, Josie? Is that why you stayed over there, like?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Was it to kind of keep away from where this horrible thing happened?
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't have lived at home again. Not with that having that happened.
Yeah. And being involved in nursing yourself, I mean, did that kind of help you?
No, not really, because I was leaving anyway. It wasn't very good at getting up in the mornings, and I'd come in late, you know, and I wanted to go on nights. They wouldn't put me on nights, so I decided to leave.
What did you do then?
Well, I went to the Channel Islands eventually, after a while.
Yeah. You never had a desire to come home again, did you?
No. No, not to live at home, no.
And do you have any brothers still alive now?
I do have one brother alive.
Yeah. And where is he living now?
He's living in the home place.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
And how is he taking the whole thing? Like, is he happy to...
Well, he just gets on with things, you know.
Yeah.
It's not really talked about, you know. But I suppose he misses his brother. He went everywhere with him, you know.
Yeah. And he was just a young lad, was he?
Yeah, 24.
Mm. What do you make of it all, Josie? All the killing and the... Do you make any... What's your own thoughts on it? What's it all for? What was it all for?
Don't know. To keep the Catholics down, I think. I think the orders came from the top, you know.
Yeah.
And must have done, you know. I reckon it wasn't a revenge killing, that it was. That the orders came from the top.
So that was an indication that, you know, there was trouble looming.
Yeah, I don't know. It's. And if he stopped him on the road, he'd ask him for ID.
Even though he knew him?
Mm. So they more or less lived opposite each other. Now that those bells for years, they lived nearer my home place now. So going out in the field or the garden, you know, I can't help seeing the house, so that's difficult to live with.
Is that why you came over here to Black Lion?
No, I was away from home, no. I lived in Galway and then my mother was old, so I decided I better move nearer home.
And did you look after her towards the end of her life?
Yeah. Oh, well, let's rather not go into that.
But could you tell me, was she, did she ever get over it, Josie?
No, she never did, no. She just suffered in silence, but, you know, I'd know she was suffering like it. She'd suffer and not complain. Not like me.
She just kind of kept her mouth closed, at least she kept it all bottled up inside.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's all very difficult to live with.
How was it like for you in all these years carrying that around in your shoulders?
Oh, bloody awful, you know. I thought something should be done about it, but what can you do? What could I do about it on my own, you know?
What would you like to see being done?
Well, I think the British should admit, you know, their responsibility. We did ask Martin Kenny to look into it. He never got back to me, and that was April.
Yeah. And the very fact that the man that carried out this terrible atrocity, it was a bit of a psychopath, you heard that, he was mad.
Yeah.
So does that not suggest then that that it was a cover-up for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, still covered up, you know. There was no apology from the British or anything. Or nobody. My mother didn't have anybody, you know. Sinn Féin didn't come to her. Nobody, like Gerry Adams or anybody like that. Nobody like that came to her, and I was working in a nursing home when I seen the news about the two Adams boys. I don't know if their names, but I thought Gerry Adams' son, now he knows what it's like to lose somebody. Awful thought. I thought serves him right, but wasn't it was his nephews that were killed. Two of his nephews. I can't remember what happened to them now, but it's difficult not to drink or smoke or anything.
Yes.
I'll be getting tobacco today again, it seems. I'm out of it. It's,
yeah.
Those have drank over, a lot over the years because of it, you know.
Oh, did you, Josie?
Oh, yeah. And not knowing who was who, and anybody Scottish as me to think. Well, they weren't all Scottish, you know, but some of them were.
And you'd look at them all as being guilty and...
Yeah. Even anything Scottish on television, I'd turn it over.
Really?
Yeah, to this day, you know. It's all about Scotland or whatever.
Yeah, God, it's really took its toll on you then, hasn't it?
Oh, it has, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. You're down to your last bit of tobacco.
I am, yeah. So I was going to go to yoga this evening, but I think I'll be going to town earlier, have a shower and go to town and get tobacco. But who's paying for it, me? I should go and see the other family, really, because I met them last year at the Blessing of the Graves. I hadn't spoken to any of them.
Have you?
Ever since, no, until last year.
Yeah.
I thought I'd better visit the other grave. And so I met the family there, you know, and he said it wasn't over yet.
So what did he mean by that?
Well, he's still investigating, you know, and want answers, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I should go and see him. I keep meaning to, but then it's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And where is he living now, is he?
He's Newton Butler, outside Newton Butler.
Yeah.
He'd be a nephew.
Oh, would he?
Yeah. He was often at the farm and knew my brother well.
Yeah. And who that farm now, whose hands is it in now?
I don't know. Some of the nans have lived there.
Yeah.
They're mostly all dead, apart from one lives in Belfast, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know who's been sold or anything.
So, Josie, so in the very early days... I'm just trying to recap on your family's life. God, it's really terrible. Mm. So your father left the family at a very young age and went off to England.
Yeah. He worked in England now and again. No, he left. I don't know when he left, but that was... He lived in Belfast. We were very poor, you know. It was very hard for her.
And so your brother was helping out on the farm, wasn't he?
Yeah.
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 And... Do you think he might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, or...?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Well, I don't think it was meant for him, I don't know. It's a Catholic farmer, get rid of him.
Yeah.
I can't remember now if it was the soldiers were there the day before. I at the farm, and he had some sort of flag, you know, on a on something that was in the ground, you know.
Like
a spade or a whatever, you know. He'd some sort of flag, and the soldier said something like, "Oh, papish bastard," or something like that, or whatever, something like that. "Fenian bastard," or something like that.
And that was the day before?
Yeah.
And that was because there was a flag flying off the handle of the spade.
Like that, yeah. I think the police were there questioning. Can't remember exactly now.
Yeah. Was he kind of bringing trouble on himself then, you know, if he was displaying a flag there, you know, was that being a little
bit... Well, it was on his own farm, like it.
Yeah. And the way that... it's just... It was one of the most horrific crimes, I think, of all the troubles.
It was, but it's not... You don't hear about it being classed as that. You know, it's never mentioned. I mean, they talk about Derry, Sunday, Bloody Sunday, but they don't talk about Monday, Bloody Monday, you know. It's just as if it's swept under the carpet, you know, as if it never happened.
Yeah.
It's never talked about at all, you know, it's... In any of these things. And I was a bit afraid myself when I was in Galway. When the elections were happening, you know, everybody was canvassing, and I went up to Sinn Féin and I said, "You never did anything about about the army, you know, murdering my brother. You never got an apology from England, from my mother or anything." And I walked off and I looked back and they were just laughing, you know. There was about 10 of them there. And then I was in a wine bar one night. I think it was just opening up. I wasn't drinking, I was on coffee or something. Some bloke made his way through the... He had to go past people, like, that's the tea, you know. There was people in front of me, you know, and he went past. Came up to me and he said, "You're in for it," or something. "You accused Sinn Féin of murdering your brother." And I said, "What? I don't know what you're talking about." So I think I got up and left or something. But then one night I had been drinking. I was walking home. I lived down the way, down an alleyway actually. Two men approached me in suits and one of them said, "I'm Mitchell McLaughlin." I said, "What do I owe you?" It wasn't Mitchell McLaughlin at all, but...
Really?
I haven't a clue who they were, but Jesus, I was afraid of my back, you know. Well, this bloke that approached me in the wine bar, he happened to be on the door then, doorman. His brother was a Sinn Féin councillor, and I said to the brother, he was gay or whatever, I said, "I used to go to the gay bar." I'm not that way inclined, but... I said, "This will have to be discussed, you know." About your brother, you know, accusing me of whatever.
Yeah.
So it got sorted out anyway, and I happened to be there in the wine bar on the 23rd of October. I'd been somewhere or something. I'd got very religious and I was at that for hours or something and went to the wine bar for something to eat. And it used to be a church at one time. So the bloke that accused me, you know, came up to me and frightened me. I was about to have something to eat. Oh, he said, hang on a minute. And he got a candle and put it on this font. He said, that's in memory of your brother. Lit this candle.
After all that.
Yeah, yeah. So we became good friends then.
Yeah, yeah. Got all the turns and the twists.
Yeah.
But at
it was pretty frightening at the time, you know, to two men, you know, yeah. Me living down just down the way in Alleyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other, the bail man that's alive at the moment, he, a dog arrived. Well, I was at home one time for, it must have been when I came back from England, I was at home for a while, and a sheepdog arrived. I think it was a thunderstorm or something. A sheepdog arrived, and so I looked after it and fed it and whatever, and it scraped the door, you know, trying to get in. And things. And a Catholic man worked for this farmer. But anyway, my brother and me went for a walk one time to Galloon and came to this driveway, and the dog went up the driveway. It ran up the driveway, he heard kids or whatever. I went up the driveway and I thought, oh God, he won't be safe going up there, and the farmer would probably shoot it. Didn't know what to do with this dog, like, so I could have rang the, what do you call it? Or his PCA or whatever, to do something with it. But I kept it for a week or 10 days or something like that and fed it and looked after it. So then the Catholic man that used to visit us, he said that the dog belonged to the farmer. He heard the kids or whatever and realised where he was. Must have got lost in the thunderstorm. But anyway, there was no comeback. He never said thanks or nothing or for looking.
The just cat, came and collected the dog? Or?
No, the dog went up the driveway.
Oh, yes, yeah.
When we were walking past.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
who did
so the Catholic man that worked for him told him that I looked after the dog, but there was nothing. No thanks or no nothing.
Oh, my goodness. And that was the Bell family, was
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
And so you think there still is a bit of tension between...
Oh, yeah, he could have said thanks, you know.
Yeah.
I even went through the checkpoint and I said to the soldiers, do you want a dog? Said, no, we've got a cat.
Oh, but that was a long time ago now that you looked after that dog.
Yeah, I suppose it was. When was it, about 92, 91?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
92, which was 20 years later.
Yeah. Do you know, Josie, coming here this morning, it...
Would you like a cup of coffee?
I would, yeah. But listen, it was lovely of you to talk to me. Appreciate it so much, and I know it can't be easy for you, but it's good to talk to you. Thanks.
Well,
thanks.
Would you like a